Auburn demolishes Arkansas on the road in Fayetteville, clinching bowl eligibility for the Tigers. We're going to talk about it on today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. As always, I want to thank everybody for checking out the show. Wherever it be, YouTube, be your podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow, do all the things, hit all the buttons, leave us 5-star reviews, comment if you're checking us out on YouTube. Always appreciate the support. It's your host Alex, aka better known on the socials at Auburn Memes. Check it out on Twitter or Instagram, same at in both spots, and we can continue the conversation there. Follow if you don't already, and of course make sure to check out Auburn Daily at auburndaily.com. Like the Facebook page, follow them on Twitter, see everything that is going on there. The staff at Auburn Daily is always putting out some awesome Auburn content there. Now, let's jump right into the episode. Auburn beating Arkansas. First thing, elephant in the room. I was 100% wrong on this. I had said on this show with Andrew, and he texted me, I mean, before the game was even over, I think it might have been like before even halftime, just he's going to rub this one in. When he comes on later this week, we've already discussed it. I'm going to get mine, and I want to get mine. I think I said I was bound to be wrong. I'd been right on a lot of stuff all season, basketball and football related. It was bound to catch up on me. It's way better to be wrong in the way I was wrong than saying Arkansas was going to beat Auburn than had I said it the other way around and it didn't end up happening. Incredibly happy about that. I want to admit this. A lot of people run away from being wrong. I'm happy I was wrong. I had originally said it was going to be 20-31 Arkansas win. I thought Auburn was going to struggle on the road. I thought their fans were going to come in there with some vigor. I thought they were going to be rallied after what they did against Florida. I thought Auburn was going to come in with a false sense of confidence and just confidence may not be the right word, but just kind of a maybe not their what they had been, the momentum they'd had against Vandy and even Mississippi State just may not have been real with a opponent that didn't have as much of a skill gap. Long story short, everything I predicted did not happen in the best way possible. I was definitely feeling a little bit more doom and gloom. I was nervous. Now, my original prediction, I had said that Auburn would split in the beginning of the season. So I'm going to be right on this a little bit here. The beginning of the season, I said Auburn would split Ole Miss and Arkansas. Was right on that. Did not remotely begin to predict a margin of victory this big. The spread was 2.5 points. Auburn by themselves got what Vegas thought was going to be the total combined, like both teams' scores combined, at 48 points. By every single expectation of this game, Auburn blew it out of the freaking water. I said 2.5 points, like Arkansas was favored by 2.5 points. Auburn beats them by 38. Auburn scored 21 points in the first quarter. I tweeted this during the game. That is the most points Auburn has scored in a first quarter since they had played Mississippi State in 2019. And I didn't look up too far before that, but needless to say, that's not a super common deal. Now, probably against some cupcake teams, they've done that. But against an SEC opponent, especially an SEC opponent on the road, you don't see that too often. So I'd have to see how many other times they've done that. So quite an impressive feat. You had a special teams touchdown. I mean, you had just near about everything go right that you could grade this an A-plus game. Just about everything. Minus, I'm going to say the one thing you got to take away from this is the drops of the receivers. Got to look at Camden Brown there. And then Thorne did throw a stupid interception. And Robbie also threw a stupid interception. And Payton's was lucky. I mean, his easily could have been a pick six. And Robbie just, I don't know what was going on there. I'm assuming it's more the deal with him is just, he's not, you know, he's getting less and less moments to show what he can do. And I don't know if that was just a situation if he was just, they know I can do it with the legs, I want to show it with the arm. I don't know. I wasn't there. I hate it for him. Obviously, you know, not happy when Payton throws him either. But regardless, the fact that you throw two interceptions and still beat him this bad, like Arkansas literally got two turnovers and still it was this ugly. That is absolutely wild. So let's look at some key stats for the game here. Just going to go over, I mean, they're all pretty awesome. So just going to go over a few of them here. And this is one that I was absolutely terrified of. And it was going to cost the game for Auburn. But why did Auburn win? Well, let's look at that time possession stat. 38-15 to 21-45. Auburn had been getting, I'm not going to say destroyed because that might be a little too much intense, but Auburn had not been doing what they needed to do in time possession, especially in some close games. Time possession is a great stat when you're on the positive side of it. Sure enough, 38 minutes time possession, if you're getting those points, yeah, buddy, going to be really good. Another thing Auburn was fantastic with, relatively speaking, comparatively, how they've been doing. Third down, 7 to 12. Now, Arkansas was 1 of 12. You're not going to win many games going 1 of 12 on third down. And Auburn had had some numbers like that in the beginning of the season. And guess what they weren't doing? Winning games. 517 total yards of offense. This is prime Gus. Love Gus, hate Gus, indifferent about Gus. There's one thing that you can say about Gus. Doesn't matter where your feelings are about him on the spectrum. Gus would show up against the Arkansas game. It didn't matter if that was in Auburn. Didn't matter if that was in Fayetteville. This was Gus' Super Bowl. He circled it. And by and large, most every time through his tenure at Auburn, that was some of the best Auburn football, especially offensively, you saw. He would come out in full fashion. And I tell you what, it's good to be back. Part of me wants to believe that the friendship that Hugh and Gus share, that maybe it was like there was a secret call, like, hey, man, I need you to do this one for me. Like Gus to Hugh, like, you know, as friends, this game means a lot for what I did at Auburn. Just go ahead and get, you know, run it up a little bit on them. Oh, I didn't have our ticker going. There it is for our folks watching on YouTube. Penalties, Auburn didn't have a whole lot of penalties. Really, neither team had a bunch of penalties, and I'd say the refs are playing pretty fair. There was that ridiculous dirty hit on Jay Fair, and I think it was like Derek Mason was trying to be like, that was a clean hit. I don't – like, the guy, he launched up. I mean, it was pretty flagrantly targeting. He came down. Well, you know, helmet to helmet, there's different things that dictate target. Now, I'll say over the last few years, the consistency with that call, it's not as bad as it was in 2021 as a season, but – it's still, I don't think they've quite got that figured out. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely, he came up with the shoulder, he launched. Jay Fair already had a foot in the white, out of bounds. No need to even, yeah, it was a late hit. And then, of course, you know, targeting. So there was that. And then there were people like, oh, look at this hit stick play. I'm like, it was a late hit, dirty hit. Like, you don't brag about that. Like, you don't brag about, like, hey, man, this guy's on the ground. I went and just sock him in the face. You know, no, you don't do that. It's not how that works. Now, let's just go ahead and talk about this. Guy Jarquez Hunter is on a mission to get 1,000 yards for the season. I was nervous. I said, if he can get over 100, even if it's a little bit over 100 in Fayetteville, I think I might start booging that Jarquez can do it. And other thing, too, Auburn clinched a bowl game. Currently, with this game, it's 775 yards. So do the math right there. It's 255 left over three games, including a bowl. And then one of those games, New Mexico State, should be a Cupgate game. I think Jarquez might got this one. And that's going to be huge. Getting backed, and that was something that Auburn had been doing for quite some time, 1,000-yard rusher, 1,000-yard rusher, 1,000-yard rusher. Need to get that back. And the crazy part is, that's with him missing the first game of the season, too. So glad to see him right back on track, but really everybody had a day. Peyton Thorne, 88 yards. Tamari Alston, 64. Brian Batie, 42. Robbie in his two runs still got 32 yards, so busted out 16 each. I guess technically 21 and 11, respectively. Average 16. And then Cobb came kind of in at, you know, garbage time, so they weren't really trying too much with him. So he got 19 on 6, but like I said, that was just, hey, secure the ball, get down, eat the clock up. 350 yards rushing, 163 passing. Peyton Thorne, 12 of 20, 163, three touchdowns. I already kind of mentioned that bad interception. Now, asterisk on that, and we'll see what the advanced stats say recording this Sunday evening. There were some drops. His adjusted completion still, once again, pretty well. Like I said, I was a little nervous. I was like, he looked good against Vandy. There's still some iffy things. Cole Pinkston with Auburn Live on Three did a little breakdown about how with the Vandy game, about how there's some things that he's maybe he's holding the ball a little too long, and maybe should have gotten it out there a little quicker, just a little bit more analytical stuff. So great piece by Cole there for anybody who is a member there and hadn't seen it. Check it out. If you're not, go follow Cole. Check out what they're doing. Really good stuff. But he brought that up, and I was kind of looking back, so I was like, actually, I kind of do remember seeing that. And he's got a great, X's and O's perspective of football. And that had me a little nervous. I was like, that had been a tendency. And even Michigan State people would say that was something he liked to do. He liked to wait, and, the guy's wide open. You just make sure there's a pretty big, that's not what I'm looking for here. I was like, maybe small margin of error, big area to hit, whatever. You know what I'm trying to get at. He wanted to get some high probability throws. And the SEC, not as many of those. Guys are going to be covered pretty well. Of course, like I said, Cannon Brown had the targets. He had the drops. They hit him in the numbers. They were covered, but still, at this level, you got to come down with more of these than you're coming down with. You can't just be expected to catch a ball when you're just wide open. And I get you're not going to catch every single one. He's still a young receiver. But at this point, it's getting to be where it's like, head scratching. You're getting opportunities. You're getting targets. You're not seizing it. A lot of hype. Big athletic guy. Something's got to give out there. Glad to see Javaris Johnson back to fashion. Big play. Got a. His long was 27 yards. He only had three receptions. It really felt like he had like eight. And just the momentum he gets, the effort he gives on these catches. I mean, in a sense, it's kind of demoralizing for the other team. Awesome to watch. And then, of course, Fairweather was back. He got two touchdowns. Awesome to see him going around there. Overall, like I said, minus those two interceptions, can't really take anything, bad away. And one thing that was awesome to see, so Auburn got five sacks. And that was something I'd kind of said. I'm going to get mad at me for booging a little bit, being Mr. Pessimist, and I'll jump in the opposite extreme. But I said the natural thing here was going to be, if Auburn beats Arkansas, are people going to really start booging for the Iron Bowl? Now, Alabama's been looking good. Unfortunately, they have been getting better and better. We got plenty of time to talk about this over the next 2 weeks, but just a little preview on this. I will bring this back up, be more thorough, as it will be a topic of conversation. There's a little bit of hype around the Iron Bowl this year. Unfortunately, Alabama has clinched the West. Does not mean they've clinched the playoff bid. If Auburn beats Alabama, playoff bid's goodbye. There's too many good teams out there waiting right outside the gate to jump in. So, could definitely spoil that for them. And then don't have to get into the hype that would mean as far as the recruiting momentum and just really overall momentum of everything. But to keep it on topic here, with the sack number, I said if Auburn can start to get their pass rush established and they can actually get after Milroe, very similar to how 2021 was, this could be an Iron Bowl. Now, granted, Arkansas has no business having a bad offensive line, especially with Pittman's backgrounds being an offensive line coach. But it doesn't matter. Auburn had been struggling to get sacks against teams that weren't even SEC teams on their schedule this year anyway. So I'll take it where I can get it. They were all over KJ Jefferson. KJ Jefferson's not a bad quarterback. Let's not get this twisted. Athletic guy, dual threat guy, big guy, got a strong arm. People may hate on him, especially after some of the performances they've had, which I think is a lot bigger than him. He's a good quarterback. And Auburn was all over him. If they weren't sacking him, they were hurrying him. I mean, if he'd split away to try to get a run out, they were on him there too. His longest run of the day was 13 yards, so they just absolutely didn't let him get away. And he rushed for I'm looking at receiving. Sorry. He rushed for 50 yards. I mean, like I said, I think against Florida in the Swamp, he was in the high 90s. But that was 15 attempts he rushed for 50 yards. So only a 3.3 average. Just because there was nothing there, you just had to kind of scramble to keep the plays alive. That can, and if it can translate to Alabama, obviously there's a talent gap there, but if it can translate to Alabama, that could keep this game quite interesting. I'm not gonna bug and say, oh man, Auburn, they get some sacks, they're gonna win. But that to me is gonna be the biggest difference maker between making the Iron Bowl very competitive to making it one that maybe we just don't want to look back on and remember. If they keep that pass rush alive and the defensive line does what they need to do, count on it. Are we back? Okay, I think we're back. I think we had some technical difficulties. Okay, we're back. I think there's some technical difficulties. There was a pause there. I apologize. I think it continued recording. So, anyway, continue with that. Sacks, Iron Bowl against Arkansas. That was the one thing I wanted to see. Very happy to see it. There's really not a whole lot that you can look at because there wasn't a whole lot that was bad. Like, this game. Let's start to talk big picture here. And this is going to be like a lot because you're not going to have a realistic game preview for New Mexico State. But as far as, and this is awesome, I'm actually looking at the win probability for ESPN. Pretty much like right after halftime, Auburn had a 99.3 win probability. And then pretty much midway through the third quarter through the rest of the game, 99.9%. And, that's always awesome to see. I mean, this win probability chart, if you go to ESPN.com, get the recap of this game, just follow that graph. It just skyrockets the first quarter, never even beeps in Arkansas's direction. So love to see that. But big picture of this game, apologize for my ADD on the graph. I'm a sucker for graphs. This was a momentum shifter. Auburn had some close games for the season, but there hadn't been any that had just been absolute demolition games, just where they just took care of business left, right, forward, and backwards. And this is it. The offense looked different. I think it's safe to say that Hugh Freeze is a little bit more involved than he previously had been. That's good. Auburn's seeing some recruiting momentum. Of course, they flipped Waller. They got a tight end commitment today. I think there's going to be more coming this week. And also, we cannot forget, Jimbo Fisher got fired today. I don't like Jimbo Fisher. Needless to say, I'm just basking in the hilarity of this whole situation. And don't get me wrong, I don't have anything against Texas A&M from a fan perspective. I'm happy for Texas A&M to be done with Jimbo Fisher. And the fact that how it went down the way that it went down, I think we're definitely going to, there'll be some offseason talk. We're going to talk about some of the ridiculousness of these contracts. But where it can affect Auburn is you got two big things that are going to happen here. You're going to have flips and you're going to have transfers. Texas A&M still got a lot of good guys committed, including a Cam Coleman, who Auburn had been in the hunt for a while. Who knows what he may end up doing, but that's going to be a storyline to follow over the next few weeks. And they're probably going to have guys hit the portal. Well, here's news. I would be shocked if Jimbo is going to be the only SEC coach let go. As of recording now, there's been no word on Pittman. I don't see a scenario where Pittman's going to be hanging around in Arkansas much longer. After this game, especially, I mean, I think he was coaching for his game. I think he was coaching for his job every game they had left. I don't think that Arkansas will end up beating a very hot Missouri team right now. I think the writing's going to be on the wall for that team. So I'm not sure from a recruiting standpoint, this could be a good old Pat Barnes question. if Auburn and Arkansas were neck and neck with any recruits, if that would even be something that could affect Auburn. But you never know. You never know who might transfer. You never know who, which recruit might decommit, and that can change things. This is a great time of the year for stability. But Arkansas has FIU left. They'll probably still win this game, Pittman or no Pittman. That's at home next weekend. And then, of course, like I said, they got Missouri in the year. That's probably going to put Arkansas to 4-win season. I don't see how Pittman would survive that. It's been kind of downhill, downhill, downhill. That's just not the direction you want. It's not a rebuilding year for Pittman anymore. This is his program, his guys. Auburn clinches a bowl game with this win. It was nice to feel that you didn't have to come into New Mexico State to kind of get, we beat the cupcake team. We're in the bowl. Like, to already have it and then hit 7 wins, the momentum's great. Regardless of what happens with the Iron Bowl, I think Auburn has already at this point achieved, or you can say overachieved from the season so far. The wins were 6.5. You hit 7. But here's what really, like, if you look at it, you can kind of argue it one way or another if you want to be really optimistic and bug, or be real pessimistic and kind of pout. But here's the one thing I will say with this is it's happening. Timing is so important, this stuff. It's happening at the right time. It is the way that it is, but this stuff feels a lot better when it comes in November than it does in September, middle October, because you're rolling out of the season with momentum. And then everybody else starts having bad news, aka Texas A&M, where Auburn's having good news. And then this is the coaching carousel season, and, oh, look at us, look what we did, how we ended strong. Most realistic case scenario here is that if Auburn can keep this Iron Bowl competitive, doesn't even have to be as tight as 2021 was, but just keep it close, cover the spread, do what you need. I mean, best case you beat them, but look good. Don't have an LSU type situation that happened. I mean, hey, shoot, do what you did. Do what you like did with Georgia. Lead some of the game, keep it tight. Make them fight for it. You can really sail with a lot of momentum there. No one is realistically expecting Auburn to win this game. So I don't think anybody's going to be let down from a big picture perspective if it doesn't happen. But doohickey against Georgia, a lot of wind in the sails. Auburn's get a big bowl game. They're probably going to have some good recruiting momentum. This really, and like I said, having that big marquee win of this idea that, all right, the pieces, things are finally starting to click. I really do think this win for Auburn can mean a lot more than just beating a bad Arkansas team. And this is not a great Arkansas team, but, you know, I am a narrative pusher when it's convenient. So in this case, transitive property is an absolute football science. Transitive property means everything because, like I said, it's fitting this particular narrative. So we're going to just kind of make up the rules here. But transitive property, absolute football science. This Arkansas team kept Alabama with the 3 points. Like I said, there's going to be that one person in the comments. I mean, transit property's not real. Okay, yeah, I get it. It was a joke. It was a sarcastic little bit. But there can be a little bit of, you could look at it some certain ways, say, all right, well, you know, this team, they got some fight in them. I mean, it's not like a talentless team. It may be a poorly coached team. But this Arkansas team is better than Vandy. And even though they lost to Mississippi State, I would still say they play 10 neutral site games. They win a good bit more than half of them. This is a win, especially on the road, playing well on the road. I mean, this is one that, like, okay, we're seeing the pieces come together. We're seeing the personnel work. And I think they're finally starting to see, they being the coaches, of course, what pieces need to be where. Who are guys that we think we can build with next year? And like I said, this is all a big picture thing. And the ideal, the best scenario was, can we enjoy the short-term picture while still building for the big thing? And that was getting a little tough in late September, early October, that A&M, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss stretch was like, ugh. And there were some things that definitely could have been better, and we saw it. They've changed it. Which to me is a great sign. When a coach can pivot and fix a problem in the short term while still, but that's one of the best things for me. And that was something that for a good bit of time, Gus Malzahn struggled to do. Didn't really have that kind of turnaround dog in him. Auburn, They got a little bit of that turnaround in them here. Right now, Hugh Freeze, they're doing it. And there's going to be some growing pains through the season. I'm saying it's going to be all riding in the sunset, happy for Auburn. But this is there's going to be some momentum from this one. I think this week will be going to be a lot of good news coming. And like I said, it just sometimes it doesn't really affect Auburn, doesn't have anything to do with Auburn. But sometimes when your rivals and opponents in your conference are sailing through some rough waters, makes your smooth waters just a little bit more enjoyable. Cough, cough, Texas A&M. So it's just, this is the time to capitalize. And when there's instability in other places and your program is looking like it is growing and becoming more stable, that's a big recruiting pitch just right there. So great win on the field. You can really not say, like I said, hardly anything bad about it. New Mexico State to kind of build that winning momentum up. And then by that point, you get a 4-game winning streak going to the Iron Bowl. It's going to be a fun Iron Bowl, just saying. And like I said, if by somehow Auburn does end this year with an 8-win season capped with an Iron Bowl win going into it, at that point, it would be a very good bowl game. We're going to be, as Pat said, it's going to be something. We're going to be something here. But that is going to conclude it now for this episode. Just want to do a solo recap game as we do on Sunday nights. We'll be talking about a lot of more of these little things I kind of hinted at throughout the week with our regular show guest rotation. Don't forget to tune in because Andrew is going to roast me for being wrong in this game. Happy to be wrong in this game. Said it. I'll say it again. I own up when I'm wrong. I was wrong. Glad I was. Want to thank our show sponsor, Opelika Rage Room, for sponsoring the show. As always, go check them out. If you want to smash some stuff, go to the website, opelikaragerum.com, make an appointment, follow them on the socials, check out what they're all about. If you don't know what Rage Room is, well, you need to do some Googling, check them out. If you don't live in the Auburn Opelika area, obviously you can check them out when you visit, but if you don't get down to visit much, you're busy when you do. If you live in the Birmingham area or pass through, they got a second location there, Birmingham Rage Room. Make sure to check them out. That's going to do it all today for the Auburn Daily Show. Like I said, check out auburndaily.com, see all the awesome content that the staff is putting out there. Of course, like I said, you can follow me on socials at Auburn Memes, and make sure to check us out for tomorrow's episode. We'll be back. We're going to have Pat Barnes Tuesday. And let me tell you, he is barning, he's booging, he is hyped, and he's going to have a lot to say about this and hopefully some more good recruiting news from there and just what this could mean. Even bigger picture for Auburn. Should be a pretty good week. A lot of fun episodes. Like I said, the mood's high. It's always more fun to listen to these when everything's going well. And I would say right now, it's going pretty well. Thank you guys for listening, and tune in next time. We will catch you then.